Let's read verses 16 to 21 in Luke 8, and then we'll pray. It says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Let's pray. Our fathers, we come before you today. We do ask, Lord, that you would enable us to be faithful to thy word. Our minds would be cleared of the things today, and our hearts would rejoice in thy truths. So we ask, Lord, that even now, as the desire of our heart is to lift up and bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, that you would lift up each one here in the faith, that we would have the desire to walk in obedience to thy teachings, that the desire of our lives would be to bring honor and glory to thy name. So we ask that you direct us in all we do. Pray for thy guidance. We do ask, Lord, for thy mercies in Christ's name. Amen. If I was going to put a title to this message today, I would title it, "How Do We Hear the Gospel?" For in looking at the sermons that our Lord preached while ministering here in the flesh, we see that his fullness to his mission, no matter how large the crowds were, he was never guilty of flattering. Think about that. Have you ever heard a preacher that would just flatter everybody? I have. He was never guilty. Christ was never guilty of speaking smooth things to perk up his popularity. Now, Jesus seemed to preach the most heart-searching and conscious preaching sermons when the crowds were the largest. Think about that. That's when most men will try to satisfy everybody and not step on too many toes. So likewise, even as Christ, faithful ministers should always denounce sin. That should be at the top of the list. It would be like walking into a snare by flattering the guilty to avoid speaking on subjects that would show the people their sins. That'd be like walking into a snare for anyone opening the Word of God. Too often the ministers don't want to offend. They're afraid they'll lose a member that's going to contribute. That's sad, but that's true.
It's true.
Verse 16 here says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel." Now, as we studied this passage here, now we looked earlier at the parable of the sower. He sowed the seed. Some fell on good ground, some on overgrown, some on stony places. It fell on all sorts of ground, and that's a different illustration of the different type of hearts that's in all people. But as we studied this passage here, the the parable of the sower, I believe, will come alive by setting forth a practical application to he that sowed the seed. So I believe all true believers should give special attention, for they will set forth in our minds the mighty lessons of the gospel of Christ. And that's what I want us to look at today. How do we hear the gospel? Now, verse 10 here in this chapter says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others in parables, that seeing they might see, and hearing they might not understand." So Christ tells us here that spiritual knowledge ought to be diligently used. It's like a candlestick. It will be completely useless if you light it and then put something over it so the light can't shine forth. Oh. Have you ever heard somebody say, if you talk to them about God, "Oh, I'm a believer. I'm just one of those secret disciples." Have you ever had anybody actually say that to you? I have. And explain why. Don't fit scriptures. But I've heard that. They tried to put what they had, what they were claiming to have, under a basket. That's what they were doing. But like a candle, it will be completely useless if you try to cover it. Just keep it to yourself. Not let it bother nobody. Think about that. As the scripture says, some of them tried to put it under a bed. So as the candle, when it is lit, is to be raised up on a candlestand, so it will give plenty to light of all of those that's entering the room. Now what's he saying? That if you're a disciple of Christ, if you're a believer, and somebody comes into the room, they should know that you're a disciple of Christ. You haven't got to go over and tell them, "Hey, I'm a disciple." They should be able to see it by the way you express yourself, by the way you relate to people. So this light that's put in this candlestick that we're not to hide, this light is the gospel of Christ in a lost and dying world.
Can I say something?
Sure, go ahead. I enjoy this.
You know, so many times, it's just like we do when we come into church. You know, we don't smile and greet our brethren, tell them we love and we care for them. And it's just like you said, you know, we don't even show love a lot of times to each other. If we can't love ourselves, then we can't love the world.
That's it.
You know, and we just can't. You know, it's when we first started going, we started going to Memphis, we come out of the Church of Christ. It's where, and you and I talked about that, you know, or showing affection and love. You know, it's just like coming here or anywhere else. When we walk into God's house, it's our brothers and sisters, and greeting each other, it should be like we've always known each other, because we should know each other in Christ. Never should we meet a stranger.
There's no strangers within the gospel family. So with these thoughts, now that we have just covered, let us think closely of ourselves. Now, this passage here is going to make us search our own hearts. So the gospel we were given, which we now possess, was not given to us just to be admired. It wasn't given to us just to be talked about. It wasn't given to us just so that we could profess it, but to be put into practice. It was not meant to simply to reside in our intellect and our memories, but it was to be used. It was to be seen, first of all, in our lives, like the candle that was lit in a dark room. If the gospel can't be seen in your light, is that candle lit? So first of all, it's to be seen. You can't light a candle and keep it hid. It's to be seen. So being a Christian brings with it a great responsibility. Every man is given a talent. We've seen that. But let's turn back and look at it again to refresh our minds on it. Look at Matthew 25. Verses 14, 15 here. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country. Now we were in the world and he saved us. We're still here in the world, but we're also in the kingdom of heaven. We're not in the place that's called heaven, but we're in the kingdom. It's like a man traveling into a far country. He's going, this man's going to a far country, and he called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities. And straightway he took his journey. Now to one man he gave 5 talents. And that man was very fruitful. He took those 5 talents and he worked with them and he multiplied them. He had come back. When his master come, he had 10 talents to give him. What verse 21 say? His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then there was the man that just gave 2 talents according to how he knew he could use them. And he was fruitful. He worked diligently with those talents and he multiplied them until he had them doubled. He had 4 talents. Look at verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But now then he comes to the man with 1 talent. What did he do? He took his talent and he buried it because he didn't want to lose it. He hid it. Now this man was like the candle that was lit and then put under the basket. So he accomplished nothing with his talent. Look at verse 28. Says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. I shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now what's happened here? The 1 talent here had a profession of faith. But he was one of those secret believers. He kept it hid. Somebody come in the room, he didn't disturb them with his religion. He didn't speak forth the praises of Christ in his everyday conversation. People could not discern whether he was a follower of Christ or if he wasn't. He was the candle that was lit and put under a basket. So the Christian is not in darkness. He is not the light that he keeps hid. That's what this is teaching us. Like the believer, the light of the gospel is put before us. Take heed that we use it. Now some can use it much more prolific than others. But it don't matter how weak a believer you are. All you have to do is let people know you're following Christ and not walking in the world. And your light will so shine that it will bring someone to the gospel. So take heed whether you're a minister of the word or the least child of God sitting in the congregation. Take notice that you're to let your light so shine, it'll be like the candlestick that's raised up. Now John chapter 12 verse 35 tells us, says, while we have the light, let us walk in the light. Now verse 16 here in us. It says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but sitteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. That's whether you have 1 talent or if you've got 12 talents. When they walk in, they need to see your light. So Christianity is a talent.
Amen.
And this talent is committed to our charge. We're responsible for it. We are not in darkness like the unbelievers. So take heed to use your talent. Be not as the slothful servant was. Or we could say the lazy servant. And Philippians 2:15 says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You don't have to go out and beat people over the head with the gospel. I may not witness to everybody that comes in that barbershop, but I don't believe that a person goes out would have any doubts that I stand in the light of Jesus Christ. Would I go and make it verbally known or not? When conversations arise, I do not compromise. I don't beat people over the head with it. If they want to hear it, we share it. I'll invite them to it if I think there's a remote chance I can even get them to talk. But how they respond to that introduction is whether I continue or not. But my light, the light of the gospel, I don't believe you have any problem. I had a man get up one day and walk out. He says, "What is this? Some type of a preacher shop?" I says, "I've not thought of it, but thank you, sir. That's a good thought." And he walked out. But as Philippians said, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. He said your life should not be offensive, but it should project the light of the gospel. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If you can hide your gospel to keep people from knowing it, I've got serious problems I need to talk to you about. Verse 17 says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything that shall not be known and come abroad. So in this verse here, when we study it close, we see that Jesus did not give you your talents to be buried or not used. Matthew chapter 25, verse 30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a strong warning there to use the talent that the Lord gave you. This is speaking to the one that didn't use it. So let your life be lived in such a way that it will truly manifest the love of Christ which is in you.
Can I ask something?
Yeah, sure.
What would be the definition of a talent?
What's the definition?
A talent of a carpenter, a Christian, a talent. Is that the 10 talents that he gave? Were there like 10 blessings?
A talent was a measurement of money. So the talent that you have as a carpenter is computed into what is it worth in money. That's just a literal translation. And in the different societies, I looked it up, but I didn't write it down. I didn't see the importance of it. A talent meant, one place they called it a denarius. And in another place, it may be 10 denarius, one talent would be. It had different values to it. But here he uses the talent as being a transient value. But the talent that he has given you is valuable in the gospel. When you share your talents, you're sharing the light of the gospel. And some will have more talents to share them. Some had five, some had two, some had one. So that's, is that?
Yeah, I think it's Luke, one of the gospels call it a denarius, using the Roman figure. A talent is a Hebrew measure of money. A talent would have been, and it would have been a large sum. But the whole issue behind the talents in all the parables is that when you consider it as far as like our script money and our coin money, it's a representation of something of value. So when Jesus speaks of it too, it's the same thing. It is corresponding to something that is valuable. And since he's bringing it, as Jimmy said, gospel truth, then what the talent represents is basically stewardship. That's all. Being faithful to one talent is equal to being faithful to five talents, equal to being faithful to 10 talents. It's not so much how much, because talents are given, and their gifts
according to your ability to use them.
And so that's the whole purpose of the whole talent in the illustration. It's to understand stewardship and faithfulness. And though you're only given one, you're not any higher or lower than the one that's given 10.
So in the use of your talent, he is teaching us to let your life be lived in such a way that it will manifest the love of Christ which is within you. So we see the light, but how do they see it? The world is spiritually blind. They call it foolishness to spend all this time and money and energy coming to church to learn the gospel, to share the gospel, and put money into church to pay the minister and send money to missionaries to share the gospel in different parts of the world. The world says that's foolishness. They're blind. So how shall they see if they're blind? This light we are to raise is the Word of God. So when the blind is around us, we're to open their eyes of blindness with the Word of God. And David says over in Psalms 119 and verse 105, he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And then in Matthew 10:26, Christ tells us, he says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and nothing hid that shall not be known." And verse 27 in Matthew 10, Jesus says, "What shall I tell you in darkness?" He is speaking here of the parables. Now, what shall I tell you in a parable? He says, "Whatever I tell you, you speak it in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye up on the housetops." What's he saying? He's given the awesome responsibility of what to do with our talents. Is he saying get up on the housetop and preach? No. This preaching is declaring the truths which he has shown you. When you see the truth in the Word of God, at the time when this was wrote, people gathered on the housetops They didn't have patios out behind her house. They'd gather on the housetop. And so you're teaching one another the value of the Word of God. That's what he's telling them here. What I tell you in darkness. Now he's saying, I have given you the parables. The world out here cannot understand a parable because they're blind. They're spiritually deaf. But now you will understand it. Go ahead.
You know, the good thing about this talking about the parables, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't think we're doing it in today's society, but we do it when we talk to people, you know, at the different levels, like the one that had 10 talents or 5 talents or 1 talent. It's what we try to do is assess an individual's level in Christ and try to make it simple enough that even a babe can.
You got to bring it down to their level. But if Christ said there, I'm speaking, and he says, when a man says, what does this mean? And he explained to him what it all meant. He says, now to you, you'll have understanding. But now then he tells them to go and preach it on the housetops. What's he saying? Where everybody is gathered in common conversation, then you preach to them. He says, I tell you in darkness. He's speaking of the parables there. Things you couldn't understand. He says, that speak ye in the light. Now you have understanding. He said, now then you explain the light to these that don't understand it. And what you hear in the ear, preach ye on the housetops. He said, share it with your neighbors. Well, John, had you got that out of that passage? I'll be honest with you, I was looking at it and it started coming to me, and I kept testing myself these questions. And I seen that little portion for the first time the other night, and then I spent about 3 hours just developing into that. And the further I got to it, it's the more rejoicing I could in the Word, because it started opening up to me. Verse 18. Let's read verse 17 before we're going into it. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. The secrets that he spoke to them in the parables, he was saying, now you're to manifest it or make it known. Neither anything that is hid shall not be known and come abroad. It says, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. There's talents of 5, it went to 10, and to 2, it went to 4. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken. And the one that had the talent but did not use it in any sense of the word. Well, there's another thing that he's teaching us here. Some people has more abilities than others. All the way down to the person that just had the simple thinking of 1 talent. He could have been the uneducated farmer out there that had heard the gospel and rejoiced in it. But he has the responsibility to that portion that he understood to share it. You see that? So regardless, if you're the college Einstein that can understand every detail, then you've got a much responsibility because you've got to explain the deep things. And then there's other people that will never get beyond the mediocre, and that's pretty much where I'm at. But then there's the simple that says, oh, I could never do that. Well, do you ever, oh yes, I love Christ. I know he died for my sins. I said, well, then you need to share that. That's the 1 talent. You know you're a Christian. Share it. So verse 18 says, take heed therefore how you hear. Now this in itself is a serious, serious warning. It's referring all the way back to the seed, which is the Word of God that was being sown. When the seed was sown, be careful. Take heed how you hear the gospel being preached. Christ is warning us that we must hear and then use what we hear. If we want to be given things from God, when you use it, He will give you more. You cannot outgive God. The more you give, the more He's going to dispose at your ability. But now, if we hear and we don't use it, we hear it, we say we believe it. We shake the preacher's hand, we go get baptized, become a church member. We might put our money in it every Sunday. But if we hear it and don't use it, even what we have will be taken away. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12.
While we're turning on that note, so take heed therefore how you hear. You know, a lot of times, you know, with discerners of the word, we should study to make it a study. And so when somebody's preaching that's out of the book, we would know that. That, you know, that's not how God intended us for us to hear it. Because there's false prophets out here today that would bring the word, and people follow along with them because they're unknowledgeable of the word.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been fed the proper meat.
That's right. I tell you, we're close on time, so let me just quote to you Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. It says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." It's going to have to deal with it. Now turn to Matthew 13 and we'll close out with it. Matthew 13, verse 11. He says, "He answered and said unto him," here the disciples asked him why he spoke in parables, "because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundant, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Otherwise, they turned their back on the gospel of Christ. "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Has anybody got anything else they want to share before we close? Got anything, Brother John? That's it. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word, for your word is truth. So we ask, Lord, that you would bless it, enable us to be faithful to it and to use it in a way that would truly be uplifting and magnifying thy great and precious name. So we ask that you direct us, enable us to be faithful. Give us the desire, Father, to walk in obedience to thy teachings and to bring honor and glory to thy name. For it's in the name of Christ we do pray. Amen.